Yesterday we celebrated Gaudete Sunday, the Sunday of rejoicing, represented by the pink candle, the third candle. Today's the feast of St. John of the Cross, which sounds like a very different thing. Rejoicing or a cross? Well, in order to reflect on this seeming contrast, I'd like to start with a little reflection on the world of medicine. We all know that with the advances of medicine, there has been great specialization in the field. So a doctor is not just a doctor, but a specialist in a very particular part of the body or a particular disease. And that's been a big advancement, as we know. But it has also led to a certain fragmentation. So specialization leads to fragmentation. The more we focus on one thing, the less we seem to see what else is going on. That's why there's such a push nowadays for more holistic medicine to counter that fragmentation. So if you have a pain in your abdomen, if you go to a surgeon, he wants to do surgery. If you go to an internist, he says, well, there's something wrong inside. If you go to an orthopedic surgeon, well, he wants to figure out what's wrong with your structure of your skeleton. If you go to a nutritionist, he'll say, well, what did you eat? And maybe your diet is causing some discomfort. If you go to a psychiatrist, he'll say, well, you're under stress, or maybe some unresolved trauma is giving you pains. And maybe they're all right. That's the thing. This is the advantage of the specialization, is that they can really find these things. The disadvantage is, well, maybe it's more than one, or maybe it's all of these. So, now, why do I mention this? Because our tendency is, especially in modern times, to separate fields of knowledge, and sometimes we forget the connections. This is really what happens when people look at yesterday's feast, the Sunday of rejoicing, and then they look at today's feast of St. John of the Cross, and they say, well, there's no connection. You can't have rejoicing and the cross together. Which one is it? Rejoicing or suffering? Dying or rising? Yesterday or today? And people say, you can't have both. Well, yes, you can. That's my point here. Holistic religion. Yes, both. John of the Cross, of course, his name focuses on the cross, and his spirituality is a via negativa. It's a way of self-denial. It has a very negative character to it, but it is not all negative. It's not all suffering, all cross. It's a way to union with God. So he's associated with darkness, dark night of the soul, way of abnegation or self-denial. But his pursuit is union with God. We honor him as a saint of glory, a mystic, a saint who knows the way into the depths of the spiritual life, the heights of holiness. Because the cross is the way to glory. Yesterday, when we were rejoicing, we had to, if we want to rejoice in a Christian way, we have to say that it's not rejoicing in a worldly sense. It's not simply having a good time all the time. It's rejoicing in the Lord, which means self-denial and the cross. Rejoicing in the Lord means not rejoicing in sin. It means repenting of those sinful joys. So it's the same. It's the same message, just two different specializations. So if someone emphasizes the joy of the gospel, which is one of the themes of Pope Francis, You say, yes, the joy is at the center of the message of the gospel. If someone emphasizes the cross, then you say, yes, the cross is at the center of the gospel. Let's look at today's readings. This is a little bit of an exception from the usual pattern. Remember, the pattern in Advent is first reading from Isaiah, gospel, the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah. Today's first reading does not come from Isaiah. It comes from the book of Numbers, much earlier book in the Bible. A very unusual passage. The prophecies of Balaam. Balaam sees not what man sees, but what God reveals. It's very beautifully described, the utterance of Balaam, the utterance of a man whose eye is true, who hears what God says and knows what the Most High knows, who sees what the Almighty sees. So he's not speaking for himself, he's speaking for God. He's uttering what is given by God. And it's an utterance about the future of Israel, the dominance of Israel over the other nations, the prosperity of Israel in the future. I see him, though not now. I behold him, though not near. So he's looking into the future, which we cannot see, but God sees. And he says, a star shall advance from Jacob and a staff shall rise from Israel. A prophecy of the Messiah to come. A staff is a symbol of authority. So a man with authority will rise in Israel. He will take charge and lead the country. That's the Messiah. This prophecy is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ. And in today's gospel, we see the chief priests and the elders questioning Jesus on this very question. His authority. By what authority are you doing these things? Cleansing the temple and teaching in the temple. By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority? Now remember, the chief priests were the authority in the temple. If we didn't give you the authority, then where did you get it from? That's their unspoken complaint. Who are you to move into our territory and act as if you have some authority? So they're trying to put him in his place or get him out of their place. Jesus raises the question of the authority of John. We saw John the Baptist yesterday. Remember, John the Baptist was an extraordinary prophet. Everybody knew it. And they were trying to figure out, who is he? Are you the Messiah? And he says, well, no, I'm not the Messiah. Are you Elijah? And he says, no, I'm not Elijah. Are you the prophet that we are been waiting for? He says, no. Now, John was from a priestly family. He could have been one of these chief priests if he had pursued that direction. Instead, he went out into the wilderness and proclaimed repentance and baptized people. So he did something completely out of the ordinary. And Jesus' question about John is, well, is John's baptism of heavenly origin or human origin? Is it from God or is it from man? Did God send John or did John just do this on his own? Heavenly or earthly, divine or human. Again, we like to think that it has to be one or the other. And that's how the question sounds to the chief priests and the elders. If we answer this way, we're stuck. If we answer this way, we're stuck. So we won't give any answer. John, yes, he was sent by God. But he was also of human origin. He was son of Zechariah and Elizabeth. He was not, that's why he would never allow himself to be made into something that he wasn't. He wanted to make sure that nobody thought he was somebody greater than he was. In fact, he said, I'm basically nobody. I'm so human that by comparison to the one who is to come, I'm not even worthy to untie the strap on his sandals. He came to, this is what we heard yesterday in the gospel. He came to testify to the light, but he himself was not the light. So insofar as he came to testify to the light, he came from God, heavenly origin. Insofar as he was not the light, he's human. He's both. Divine origin, because he's a prophet called by God. Human origin, because he's a man. Now, this marriage of the divine and the human, this holistic understanding, is indicated by John, but it's completely fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who is God and man. He's not just from God or from man. He is God and man. He is the perfect union of God and man. So he's at the center of every prophecy, the fulfillment of every prophecy, the complete fulfillment. Why doesn't he tell them where he gets his authority? He says, well, you tell me the answer to this question, and then I'll answer your question. They don't give him an answer, so he doesn't give them an answer. Why is he playing this game? Because they're playing the game. They're setting up these criteria. They're putting limits on how much he can say. They're already rejecting his authority. So how could he come along and say, I'm sent by the Father? They've already rejected the answer before he gives it. So he points them back to John. John, who was sent as a precursor, a man sent to prepare the way. Go back, think about John. Ponder the ministry of John. He's supposed to prepare you. If you don't get John's message, you're not ready for me. That's what he's doing here. And that's what the church is doing for us. If we haven't recognized the ministry of John as little as he says he was, and he was as nothing as he was, his ministry was very important to prepare the way. If we don't take it, if we don't listen to John, if we don't repent of our sins, don't turn away from sin and believe, then we're not ready for Christmas. We're not ready to welcome Jesus, who is God and man. We're not ready to welcome divine power and divine authority acting in the human family. We're not ready to accept what is revealed. See, Balaam accepted it. He said, I'm just hearing what God says. I'm seeing what God reveals. I'm just a recipient of this gift. And this is what I utter to you. So Balaam was ready, even though what he saw was far in the future. The chief priests and the elders are not ready because they won't accept any authority other than their own. What about us? The question is always us. We're the ones who are in Advent now. We're the ones who are preparing. Are we welcoming the authority of God in our lives? Are we listening? Are we seeing what God is revealing? Are we open to the possibility that God works in human settings? That it's not simply heavenly things way up there and earthly things way down here, but it's God who becomes man. If we're not ready to receive that, we're not ready for Christmas, because Christmas is God coming as man. So this is a beautiful Advent liturgy. It's preparing us for what is to come. Let us open our hearts to the revelation of God's ways. Teach me your ways, O Lord.